What? Are we live? We're live. Look at that. That means we're live.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Nice.
What up, snitches? Hey, let's wait for some people to come because I got to let these guys know. First of all, we got to give a shout out to our sponsor for the month, Athena Health. Athena Health is actually creating health IT solutions that actually help take the work off our plate. And these jokers may actually use the product, which was serendipitous but not necessary for this broadcast. We want to thank them for supporting this month. They want us to focus on physician burnout, and their whole motto is free up, so that if they can take some of this busy work off our plate and anticipate what we need, then we click less boxes and get to kick 70% more ass. And this has been quantified in multiple studies. Not a single study has been done. All right, that being said, ZPAC. I want to introduce you. So I got to say, you guys know I've been traveling. Yesterday I was at the National Gaylord Harbor Resort in Maryland, and we did the talk this morning for the American College of Osteopathic Surgeons and the American College of Osteopathic Internists, about like 1,000 or 1,500 docs. And they were freaking amazing, you guys. Like, they were the best audience ever, but y'all are going to give me a run for the money because we have 6 docs in this room, and I am now in Trenton, mother-flipping New Jersey.
Woo!
Hell yeah! With my crew from Capital Health. I'm doing a gig for them tomorrow. We did a little warm-up today. We did a couple songs. People were like, I don't know what to make of this. I'm so frightened. Tomorrow, we're going to scare the crap out of them. But I said, okay, who are the coolest docs in this room? Let's go up to – whose suite is this?
This is my suite.
Jerry.
What's your name?
Jerry. Gertzman.
Jerry Gertzman.
The coolest doctors couldn't make it, so they –
They relegated us. Jerry, what do you do? What's your specialty?
I'm a primary care doctor of family medicine.
Hell yeah. Thank you for your service because it is truly a service.
Thank you.
And it is also a kind of a sacrifice because you've given up the Porsche, the private jet.
And the boat.
And the boat.
Yes.
You could have a boat, Harry. A boat, Harry. Boobs and buttocks and beach, Harry. So Jerry Gertzman is our primary care doc. And what's your role in the organization?
I'm the director of the primary care division at Capital Health Medical Group.
Hell to the yeah. My boy with the evil Spock.
Ah.
Yeah.
It's all about the hair.
It is. What's your name and specialty?
So Eric Schwartz. I am executive director of the Institute of Urban Care at Capital Health and responsible for our strategy in Trenton. So,
back at the Institute, we study many things. We study stuff and more stuff, and then we get paid to do studying stuff. Is that the kind of Institute you're talking about?
No, it's the power of these guys.
What?
That give the Institute the power.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
We all have IT, quality.
I'm like the situation Arcaro. And I am also an internist practicing primary care, and I also work as the medical director of clinical informatics. So basically, the computer doctor who kind of helps with our EMR.
Wow. And what's your EMR?
It's Athena.
Ooh, serendipity, people. I couldn't have planned it this way. Like, they're sponsoring the month, and these guys actually use it. And you know what? They don't hate it. They don't actually hate it, which is a real relief. Because if they hate it,
you get paid extra for that. Sorry. Whoops.
Hey, $5 is $5, dude.
Hey,
shut your mouthpipes. Because the $5.
As long as you share.
You know what? $5 is going our way. We're gonna get some pizza tonight.
All right.
I hear we're in Jersey. So, Mike, the situation. Yeah. Tell me, you have a very odd resemblance to this gentleman.
So Mike was so busy that they had to clone him, and I'm the twin. So I'm Mark, not the situation, Arcaro, and I'm also an internist. I do primary care medicine. I also am the director of quality for Capital Health Medical Group. So I help with all the quality measures that everyone loves.
Oh! Where's the ZPAC at? Yeah, we already got a pinned comment from Tom. Tiffany Busby, I'm glad he didn't say Cerner. God, I hate Cerner. Oh, we can't take... We're not going to take craps on other health records. That's not what we do, ZPAC. That's not very 3.0. Yeah, okay, but Meditech sucks. I'm kidding. Or am I? So we got Mike... Wait a minute. Mike the situation?
Yes.
Mark the conundrum?
Nice.
And you guys are actually twin brothers.
Yes.
You guys ever see the movie Dead Ringers with the twin Obi-Gyns? This is 70% more creepy. 70% more creepy than that movie. Amazing. And here at the very last but not least. Ooh, oh, wait. Something's wrong with my gimbal. Oh. Dude, it's behaving like a butthole. There we go.
There you go.
You're going
what
to
you got?
Future.
Yeah, exactly.
I am Josh Eisenberg. I'm a vascular surgeon. I also am the overlord of all these people.
Yep.
as the director of our entire medical group. I am the evil surgeon as it is.
I love it! Guys, I want you to notice something here. We have evil surgeon boss, twin evil internists, one of whom does quality stuff, the other does EHR stuff. Like, just bad all around.
Yes!
We got the poor primary care division guy who's like, I'm just here to like, oh God, why did I choose primary care? And then this guy
you
at the
this
institute.
This guy who's like, I don't know, they're just keeping an eye on them.
Yeah.
Actually, that's why I'm here. Because
And they're all smiling and kind of having fun, which means something's terribly wrong. And we're going to get to the bottom of that here. Let's take some comments. Mwahaha, Carrie Bennett says, evil surgeon. Are you really evil or surgeon's evil?
Oh, yeah. No, we're totally evil.
Tell me one of the evilest things you've done to another human being as a surgeon, whether it's staff or colleagues or...
He cuts them open.
No. Say it's not true.
It is actually true that as surgeons, I do cut people open.
Do you put them back together?
Not always. Depends on what time I got my tea time. You got to put your priorities first, right? Golf, family. I mean,
that makes sense. Golf and family. It's like the Bible Belt, except for golf.
That's right.
I love it. What one piece of advice would you give patients trying to prevent seeing you as a vascular surgeon?
Stop smoking.
Absolutely.
Single worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Why? Why is that? Why is smoking so bad for our vessels?
There are tons of... I mean, you're basically putting garbage and burning it in your mouth. You're inhaling every toxin in the world for doing that.
I mean, that's like Taco Bell fire sauce, but I'm not going to stop doing that.
Well, I mean, look. You can't give up everything good in life. So
that's right. And I heard something about pizza in this
yes.
state. So what? Tell me, what's the deal with pizza in New Jersey?
I feel like we are just south of New York, which is well known for pizza. But I think we do it better. We have the tomato pies in central New Jersey here. Thinner crust, better sauce. It's really good. Plus, we have the longest continually running pizza place in the country, right here in. About 20 minutes east of here.
And it's not Little Caesars.
No. I have to ask a question based on that. So you have pizza. Do you fold or not fold? And I would ask all of you.
All of them.
Like, how do people weigh in? Do you fold your pizza or not? I'm from Brooklyn. I fold. I'm sorry. But tell me, do you fold or not fold?
Well, they're going to tell us in a sec.
Yeah,
I fold at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
I unfold at the end.
Fine because, but at the beginning you fold.
At the beginning you
have to fold. Do you ever see somebody like eating the pizza and it's dripping down? I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I feel
bad.
How
about the knife and fork?
Oh, not the knife and fork.
No.
You know what, though? I've switched over. As I've gotten older, and maybe it's because I'm older, if it's really hot, I'll go to knife and fork just in the beginning. And I know it's like really wrong, but it's a way to eat quicker. I can just throw those pieces right in.
It's okay. We can accept you for who you are.
Okay. Thank you.
This is what happens when you end up with like six guys in a suite in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, well, do you fold? That's totally hot, bro. I totally fold it. And I burn my mouthpipes.
You got to know when to fold.
Yeah, yes.
You have to
know when to hold.
How much grease and how much stuff.
Exactly. Tiffany Busby, all caps, do not fold, says
Thank
Tiffany.
Thank you. All right. Yeah. Yes, all right. Thank you.
And fold, says Bronx Pizza is the best, says Lisa Cosma. Who are these people?
I would love to know the final tally, if you could.
Oh, yeah, we'll know at the end. We will know. And Tom Heinenberg will share it with me, and I will share it with you. All right, now, speaking of sharing... Part of the reason I've gathered this evil cabal here today, and I'm going to get a little space on this here. There we go. This evil cabal has been gathered here today to talk about burnout, damn it! Yeah. Why are we burning out? What we can do to prevent it? What role technology has in that? And why nurses are so awesome and we're going to kiss their butts because we want our lives to be good?
True.
All of those things.
Sounds good.
Let's talk about that. So, burnout. Do any of you guys feel like you're experiencing it, or do you still feel like you're living your calling purely without complication? And anyone can take this.
Definitely. I've been in situations where I felt like...
The situation?
The situation.
Okay, good.
Next to the situation.
Yes.
Where I felt like I was practicing medicine at breakneck speed.
Yes.
Here at Capital Health, we have achieved work-life balance. We only require our primary care doctors to see 2 or 3 patients an hour because we want them spending time with their patients and not burning out. Mm. We don't want to have a primary care doctor join us for 5 years and then leave and retire or go somewhere else. We want to nurture them and have them build a career and enjoy what they do.
So how do you do that when we're paid on volume, when we're paid on click boxes and how many 99217s or whatever we do?
It's hard to do.
It's a challenge.
But you can do more with a good EMR.
Oh.
And I know that Athena is the sponsor, and this is just a pure coincidence. I really do. And I realize I sound insane when I say I like my EMR. I really do like Athena. I love Athena. It's been life-changing.
What is different about... I mean, okay, what's different about a good... Forget Athena and all that, but what's different about a good EHR that you've experienced versus something that's less...
I've been on a bad EMR where it took 13 clicks to refill one medication.
Really?
Yes.
You counted these clicks?
I counted them because it wasn't right. It just didn't seem like that it should be that way, but it was. 13 clicks to refill one medication, and here you can do it in literally one or two.
Wow. And so it's a streamlining of administrative clicking.
Yes.
Is there a predictive component where it actually helps you make decisions?
Absolutely. I think the care management piece, you know, the ability for the population health piece, that you get the availability of when a patient shows up, what do they need? Do they need a mammogram? Do they need a colonoscopy? Do they need a hemoglobin A1C? It's there in front of you at the point of care. That's what
Quickly parsing the chart, looking for, like with clinical decision support, and looking for those problems that... you know, you're seeing a patient for a follow-up, you're seeing it for a physical. If it pulls in all those quick check boxes that you need to order and allows you to order them very quickly.
Yeah.
Like with a little arrow, pull them right over.
And that's what makes that's what makes Capital Health different than everybody, because we understand that at the base level. You know, just what you said. It's like, how do you make the most, you know, of the experience? I mean, we recognize the value of patients' time. And when they come in, we know who they are. It's personalized medicine, you know, and I think that's what we can
do. You don't want to spend too much time looking at your computer and typing.
Right.
You want to spend FaceTime with the patient and so that they can have that connection with you, and you should spend very little time documenting and more time spending with the patient and getting to know them and understanding who their dog is and what their children are, what they do for a living, and what they like to do for fun.
You shut your mouth. That's not what we do in medicine. We click the damn boxes, and that's final. That's what we do.
Because these guys click all the boxes, and I get to see all their hard work, which makes my job really easy.
And it's nice because actually our specialists in our that we use oftentimes use the same EMR.
They benefit from us.
So they benefit because it's a global system, especially within our organization. Yeah. So that's a big plus.
And so you think this maybe has helped you guys become more efficient in terms of seeing those 2 to 3 patients, giving time to them, and then the computer maybe helps you. Because see, my whole thing with Health 3.0, which we talk about a lot, is Health 3.0 is repersonalized medicine, but how do you allow repersonalization? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to add one more thing.
Yeah.
I think we're focusing on the HR, but it's actually... I think workflows are key, and using support staff, helping, having everybody work together.
Yeah.
So if you...
Wait a minute. Are you just saying have the nurses click the boxes?
No. No, I'm not saying that.
Working well in conjunction with your nurses and your
staff. That's exactly.
Notice how they finish each other's sentences, by the way.
This is actually big. I mean, that
Dead Ringers. That was the movie. So it's the workflow and the team-based.
Workflow support.
Right.
Make everybody empowered.
And Zubin, you said it before, having everybody work to the top of their license, everybody should do. Nobody wants to be a medical waitress.
Yeah.
A nurse wants to be a nurse. She wants to do patient care and patient education and take care of
people. She or he. Yeah.
She or he.
That's right. The nurse wants to take care of patients and not just take their blood pressure and escort them to the room.
So I like what you're saying, because I want to fill this in with the 3.0 angle, which is if you're going to repersonalize medicine and do what my boy's saying, because Jerry's like, I want to see 2-3 patients, get to know them, know their family, know their cat's name, know what their hopes, dreams, and fears are, know what their goals are for outcomes, right? And then help them achieve them. In order to do that properly, you're going to actually need technology to actually help you and then get out of the way. Instead of treating the chart, you're treating the patient. The second thing you're going to need is support team. So the full team where you mentioned everybody practicing at the top of their license, and that means nurses, pharmacists, RTs, you know, nutritionists. The freaking housekeeper is practicing at the top of their game, right? They're doing their calling as part of this mesh network.
So ZDoc, what I did not hear you say was the patient. And you know what? You talked about...
That's because I hate patients. You know that.
Sorry.
It's about caregivers,
son. You're in Jersey.
Yeah, I'm in Jersey. I got it. No, all right. You call it out.
You, like, you know, what about the role of the patient, you know, in their health? You know, we talked about the whole team. If not for the patient, how are we going to do this? How are you going to do this?
So, okay. I hear And we're in Jersey, so we speak freely. It's not this California bullshit where it's like, let's beat around the bush and be nice to each other. Okay, you tell me, how do we empower patients without breaking our workflow, without turning a hospital into a hotel and being slaves to customer service? How do you empower patients? I want to hear your take because you're on the front lines.
So I think, when you talk about somebody with diabetes, you're like, you have diabetes. Maybe the question is, what does that mean to you? How does that impact your life? Because all we get is 15, maybe 20 minutes with somebody. They have to leave. It's their life. So I think if we can understand as physicians and as care teams, how does this impact your life and how can we help you, that changes the dynamic.
And how can we change their life to change the disease? Mm-hmm. So somebody with diabetes, instead of focusing on, hey, I'm going to treat them, I'm going to talk to them about their potential for completely, drastically changing their life to reverse the course of what they have. Because it's possible with many things in medicine.
Yeah.
Also empowering them by giving them tools like we have a patient portal. We're rolling out telemedicine. These patient-engaging technologies, it doesn't work for everybody. And, some people just want to be the patient and have you tell them what they should do. But there are others that will get involved more and more, and it's going to just benefit them because...
Well, can I give you a little bit of our experience at Turntable? So at Turntable, what we found is to empower the patient, you go where they are, exactly what you said. What does it mean to you? What does the diabetes mean to you? What are your hopes, dreams, and fears? Also, how do you like to communicate? So we would tell patients, look, a lot of our sort of Spanish-speaking hotel worker, culinary union patients, who these are the people who clean the beds, who make the food, that make Las Vegas run. Vegas strong, by the way, people. We would ask them, well, how do you like to communicate? They don't like telephone calls. They don't do email. What they do is text message.
Absolutely. Yep.
And that's what they do. And so we would say, okay, here's a form we're going to have you sign to opt out of the HIPAA piece and understanding that these text messages aren't secure because we didn't have the money to build a text message again.
Now,
I have no idea if this is legal. But it felt right to my elephant. So we did it, and the patients loved it, and they would text us. And the thing is, it didn't drive us crazy because we want to know. We want to engage with our patients in a way that's meaningful and to actually prevent a visit that's unnecessary. Right? When we didn't have a copay, they could see us anytime. It was much better to really create a relationship that's ongoing with any communication platform that you can have. And I think that's a big piece of it. And spending time with them, having health coaches, having these, you guys have the Trenton Health team, right?
Yeah,
we do.
Can someone tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. I certainly can talk about that. Get to be medical director of our Medicaid ACO. It's an opportunity of all the healthcare systems within Trenton, the FQHC, Henry J. Austin, as well as the city of Trenton, to get together and implement programs to really address the needs of the entire community around chronic disease, diabetes. How do we get people to help themselves and put in systems to give them the opportunity to really be successful?
Yeah. Now, Liliana Cook made a comment that was pinned by Tom that said, watered down patient portals are really just annoying to patients. They don't have enough access. They don't have the context. How do we get around that? You guys are the EHR.
If they're
guys.
Watered down, I think if they are intuitive, if they're built well, and that's you're at the mercy of your EHR company, honestly. But if the portal is fairly intuitive, the patient is kind of tech savvy, and you enable all the tools that are within that, so allowing for online scheduling, allowing for messaging. Allowing, publishing their patients' labs to the portal, being transparent as you can with their care.
And sometimes there's a fear as a provider that if you enable a patient to message you through this portal, you'll be flooded with messages. But we found that doing that actually made our lives better, easier.
And it's better for the patient because the last thing they want to do is leave a voicemail on an answering machine to be answered several hours later. They can send a message through the portal. Our nurse sees it almost right away and then sends it to us almost right away. And they can answer quickly.
So ZPAC, I want you to weigh in. If you've used patient portals, do you agree with what these young doctors are saying? Speaking of young, can you log into your phone because I'm going to read some comments. let me know if you agree with that, because I actually think a well-done patient portal can actually transform care. Here's the thing, though. Does it add to the inbox drama that we are all drowning in?
In our case, it doesn't.
I don't think it does.
Because we've created a workflow where people are working, again, to the top of their license.
Yeah.
Our receptionists and our nurses field those.
Yeah.
They handle the things that they can handle, and they pass on to us the things that they can't. And we'll weigh in and give a medical decision.
And you're going
to
get a call anyway. So if it's a message to the portal or a call, so be it. And that was a fear we had.
Yeah.
I think
and patients having access to their information can never be bad. Like,
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, patients come in all the time.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to interrupt you because I write in the chart, 23-year-old drug seeker here to manipulate me. I don't want them to see that. How do you deal with that?
The truth hurts, right? Like, I mean, but I think people come in all the time. And look, I'm a specialist, so they have some issue when they're coming. They're not coming for routine things. And they apologize all the time about going online or doing their own research or having talked to other people. But it's always the more information, the better, right? The more they know, then I can spend more time teaching them the next things. Like, I can use the visit to try to get them to stop smoking, which they haven't really thought about when they come in with an aneurysm. Like, and so I can say, look, the real way you're going to keep your legs with peripheral vascular disease is stop smoking. Like, and now they're in a really stressful time in their life, and we have great studies that show that when you impact, you can change patient behavior at stressful times in their life. So the smoking cessation rates are really high when vascular surgeons talk about them. They do it the correct way.
That's really fascinating.
It turns out physicians don't have power. They only have influence.
So
over people's lives. Wow.
Heaven forbid.
Imagine that.
And influence in human society is power.
Well,
because we're evolved to try to seek influence because we're social creatures. And influence means you don't starve. It means you're not extruded from the tribe. You're going to be protected. So it's an innate sort of drive to have influence. But I think our influence being used for good is such a wonderful, powerful tool. And that's, I think, what calls us to medicine. Now, I have an interesting comment from New Jersey Safe Staffing Ratios. Do docs ever read care plans that nurses do, or is it really just a waste of our time and more clicking? I'm going to go ahead. Let's go through.
My goodness. I love nursing care plans. I think if I ever want to know exactly what's going on, I'll read the nursing care plan. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I just want to say that.
How about you guys?
I have to agree, but I think what happens is some doctors, and I have been this way myself, you're working so fast, you feel like you're so rushed that you skip it, and you shouldn't. You really need to read it because there's so much information there. But we also all need education on how to easily access those care plans.
A lot of times hospitals don't file in stupid places.
Yes, exactly.
So when you put the care plan in some goofy section
by itself, then
it's sort of out of sight, out of mind.
The informed technology, but if we're not using it correctly, it just doesn't work.
The informed doctor is going to know that the nurse is able to spend more time with the patient and have a rapport with the patient that maybe the doctor doesn't, and be able to get more information and impart more knowledge than the doctor could, so you need to take advantage of that.
So here you guys have it. There's six doctors here saying that the nurse care plan actually matters, but that it matters that it's actually available, that it's parsable, that maybe it's searchable, that maybe it's condensable. And I'll tell you, you know, those of us who accept transfers from outside hospitals, sometimes they're only the nurse's notes that come through. And that's when, that you can read, because the doctors are like, blah, 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 blah. It's like from some non-EHR, like, you know, community hospital. And you go through the nurse's notes and you learn so much, but you have to come at it obliquely because the way that our medical, our doctor brains work.
We're not trained to use the nurse's notes. We really aren't. In our residency and medical school.
Should we be?
We should be trained to be in a team.
In 3.0, doctors can think like nurses. Yeah.
Yep.
You know what? Sorry.
And adding,
heaven forbid.
Integrating rounds with the staff, like different staff.
Interdisciplinary rounds,
We do that at Capital Health. In our hospitalist team, we have interdisciplinary rounds.
So who is on that rounds team? Like, what interdisciplinary are we talking about?
Physicians,
nurse practitioners or PAs, the nurses, pharmacy, social work and or case management, physical therapy, if they're in the ICU, respiratory therapy. I mean, really, every
a real team.
Like,
yeah.
Dudes, Do you see the emergence? I always say this. I travel around the country, and I see 3.0 emerging in fits and starts in places. And I bring my phone so that we can highlight the best ideas and some of the bad ideas too. But the idea is that if we as agents of change, frontline healthcare people, and these guys all are, right? Even if they're working in administration, heaven forbid, evil.
Yeah, we have a touch of dark side.
Yeah, hella dark side. That's right.
I'm trying to stay close to the light.
That's right. I like how he pulls his hands out with that force lightning. Oh. Yeah. He's like,
that's
oh.
different about Capital Health Medical Group. We are physician-led.
Physician-led. Yeah, which
actually, you know what? That's a big part of burnout. So including the caregivers in leadership helps.
Heaven forbid. So, I had Robbie Pearl, the CEO of Kaiser, on the show, and we talked about physician leadership or clinician leadership.
Clinician, yeah.
So exactly. It's not just physician. Yep. It can be a nurse. Absolutely. It can be an RT. Yep. Someone who's touched patients, yeah. Preferably in the buttocks, because that's where it gets real.
Well, it helps to alleviate the culture of providers having a little bit – there's always a little animosity with
a
administration.
Little, yeah. A little.
But it helps to alleviate that, and that's important for all of us because we can work together as a team.
I agree. And so Jody Chance asks, should nursing and med students attend some classes together since they're going to have to work together?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
And I started early.
Yeah.
I used to teach the residents one of the things I used to say. Instead of trying to figure out and go through all the things you got to go through in the chart when you're making your rounds, if you walk up to the nurse who's with the patient and just say, how's – Mr. Jones doing, they'll tell you everything in 10 seconds.
Yeah. Like, it happens all
everything.
The time.
They're right there. Right?
It happens all the time.
It happens all night long.
And you know, here's the thing about great nurses is they want to share this information. They're waiting to share it. And when they don't get a sense that the doctor cares, it's really rather devastating. It's like, why am I know so much about this patient. I'm spending my time with this patient and my five other patients because our staffing ratio is out of whack and so on and so forth. But it you know, it's a thing. I'm going to try an experiment now, though. I'm going to hand these comments over to you and anyone who wants. You pick a comment that you like as we're talking and just – what's that?
Is it because he's the IT guru?
It's because he's the IT guru. It's also because it's his phone.
He's doing that.
Yes, that's right.
And you can pick a comment that you like, read the name of the person, and then the comment anytime and interrupt us as we're talking.
Okay.
So we have new comment curation as we go. Now, the pinned comment at the bottom is what Tom Heineber back at the mothership is pinning. Yeah.
Oh.
You don't have to read them, but whatever you think strikes your fancy or you think is something we should talk about.
While he's doing that, I'm just going to throw in props for our magnet status because we talked a lot about nursing and at Capital Health, we're a magnet hospital.
That's right.
And that speaks to who we are. So I'm just
I'm going to play devil's advocate on that real quick. So some of the nurses say magnet is a scam and it doesn't really do anything and it's just more click work. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. You just see it in every patient. You don't get ready for magnet. You get ready for the next patient. And I just see that every day.
Awesome. So. All right, my friend. What do you got?
So what about care team plans instead of just nursing plans? This is a key point. So,
who asked that?
This was – oh, shoot.
he'll learn. He's a doctor. It'll take him a while.
Disappeared off my screen.
That's okay. Yeah, they scroll. Yeah.
But anyway,
someone else the phone now.
So anyway, care team plans. This is key because you know we just said nursing plans. It's true though. There's an entire team that's involved. So you can read physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy plans, along with physician plans, along with specialist plans. It would be nice if everything was very intuitive in an EMR where you could reference different things where you can pull, what you need out of at the right time.
Almost where the notes could integrate into one note with little sub, like you hover over it and it says who wrote it.
That would be nice.
And so we tried something like that with our EHR at Turntable, which was called the Iora Clinical Information System, or ISIS. That was a bad name.
Oh,
yeah, it was a very bad name.
Marketing.
They're clinicians, not marketers. So, but the idea was that everybody writes in the same note at the same time because we're not billing CPT, so we don't have to prove to Medicare or whoever. It was easy. So we just create a pastiche that's issue-based, and everyone creates on it. And made it very good. And it was, since it was issue-based, you would just hit the part of the chart that if you're interested in the CHF, you could get right into that. But it's complicated. And the nice thing is there are health IT people that are working very hard to make this happen, to make it better. And we can't just take a crap on them, okay? Because it's easy for clinicians to do that. Oh, my God, a clinician should write this. Clinicians can't damn well code, okay? So we got to work with our partners. And these frontline people that are building the software actually care deeply about patient care. They see themselves as agents of patient care. And we should help them instead of – I know we're busy. But, like, these guys get together and they think about what would a better workflow look like? How could we drop the number of clicks? And they'll work with Athena or whoever and say, look, how do we make this better? And they're going to listen, right? That's what we want,
Right. And then just props for using the word pastiche.
You know what? It's a big word.
I just wanted to throw that out.
I went.
I don't know what it means.
Right. So
if you could,
like
if you could define that one, that would help.
A pastiche is a kind of a.
Is it a pistachio?
It's almost a collage. See, it's like a. It's like an all natural white pistachio, not those red ones. All
right. Cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Smart. We're all doctors here.
Okay. Yeah.
We all went to evil medical school.
Yes.
Several of us. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Nice shout out to the rehab, Mike.
Oh yeah.
That was from someone, Melissa.
The situation.
Oh, that's
yes.
My sister-in-law.
Oh, that's your. It's your damn sister.
The family. It's my wife.
Oh my God, that's amazing. You guys are dead ringers. Let's see. Let's read some other comments, my friend. What do you got there?
Oh, see, the bottom's the pinned one.
Okay. How about some honesty?
Are Mike's parents watching?
Oh, some honesty. That's cold. How about some honesty? Hey, we're talking the truth here.
Yeah, no, these guys are... Really is. Listen, this is Jersey. These people don't lie.
We're really not sugarcoating stuff here.
Yeah. What do you got?
Let's see. Someone said...
you got to say who.
I don't... Oh, sorry. Erica Beth... I also don't want to email to deal with an EMR to email my doctor. If I agree to use email, it should be allowed to.
Yes, you want to use email. Patients want to use
They want to use direct email. Sometimes we struggle with that because of we're worried about HIPAA compliance.
Yep.
We're worried about if someone else accesses their email, could this be a problem?
Documentation, too, because you want those messages in the system. These are all...
But this is where big government just screws things up. You know what? If you gave somebody a note or a paper chart and they lost it, or they blew out of the window of their car, then their HIPAA information will be all over the place.
Yeah.
So if they can't control their email,
It's true.
I concur. I think this HIPAA thing has been a double-edged sword. It's great to talk about patient privacy and portability. Where did that go wrong?
Right.
Like what part of portable – there's nothing portable about HIPAA. It's less portable. You got to print that ish out and carry it with you or send it by OWL via Voldemort. Like it's the whackness, guys. So these are. It's funny too, by the way, watching docs struggle with reading these comments. They don't realize it's a damn skill.
No, this is really
cool. This is a trainable skill.
Here.
Who's reading them next?
Carrie Phillips says the only thing that's going to help is lower ratios.
So, what do you guys think about nursing ratios? Because this is a controversial topic, and a lot of administration, a lot of doctors are like, well, we need to work smarter, not harder. And the nurses are like, hell no. There's like six patients to a nurse. Like, that's never safe.
Not to toot our own horn, but in a Capital Health Medical Group in the outpatient primary care world, we have a one-to-one ratio. We have one nurse or medical assistant working with each doctor.
What about in the inpatient world?
The inpatient
world. We don't. And that's what's tough. It's mostly in the outpatient. So, but we've been in the inpatient.
Can I interrupt with another family member from Mike who wants to chime in here? Anna Arcaro. Hi, Mike. We love you.
Oh, thanks, Anna. All
right. You guys are the worst comment curators in the history of everything. I love it.
Any comments in specific? Shout out.
Let me scroll too here. I'm going to look at some comments here as well.
In London, as an RN, I'm one of the nurses that keep the patients alive from doctors killing them.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch.
Well, you know,
ouch,
look,
that hurt. That
look,
hurt a
look.
Lot here.
You know what? It's fair to say when the doctor's an asshole and doesn't listen. It's not fair when we're just pointing fingers at each other because, you know, this goes both ways. Doctors will accuse nurses of malfeasance or negligence, and we just got to stop. What we have to do is go, oh, how can we help each other help the patients? Like if it were a mom, if it were our son or our daughter in the hospital, like we would want to optimize the systems to do that. And that means better technology, better teamwork, better culture, better training. Communication.
Make it about the patient. Make it about a just culture.
A just culture. Yeah. That's interesting. I like that.
It's a process where everybody recognizes it's about the patient, you know, when you build your systems. So it's all about patient outcomes.
And Debbie Sadler, who I assume is a nurse, says, if you guys act like you don't care, it is truly crushing. I've experienced this. There have been times when I've been really busy and a nurse tries to give me some really important information and I'm just like – and you can tell they deflate. And you know that the next time they're going to think twice before they share that information, and that's a tragedy.
Some doctors are assholes and we're sorry.
Yes.
That's true. That is true.
Yes. Now I'm gonna step up and say some nurses are real assholes too. And
I did not agree with that. None of us agreed with that.
We don't know who this guy is.
Check, please.
I'm the guy who doesn't round as much as y'all. Nurses know I love them. I make videos for nurses. What the hell do you guys do? Nothing. You're just nice to them and respect them and like treat them as partners in the care. They don't want that. They want to see, you know, what can I say except you're welcome for the ice chips, the meds. The food. I'm kidding, guys. You know me. You know I love y'all. What do we got here? Carrie Bennett says, truth. I don't know about what, but I like it. How can one properly take care of 26 patients plus Evelyn Clark? And this is what nursing home staffing ratios are like, right? And we saw those. Yeah, sometimes it's like 1 to 40.
Impossible.
It's impossible. It's not possible. And they'll say, well, the patients are stable. No, they're elderly patients who have needs. And would you want your mom or your grandmother in a place like that? And that's how it is.
That's why, again, not to toot Capital Health.
Here we go, Mr. Capital Health.
We hired nurse practitioners to round in our skilled nursing facilities so they can take care of our patients after they leave the hospital before they can go home, and that nurse practitioner sees those patients 3 times a week and develops a rapport and a relationship. They keep that patient from getting sick again and having to go back into the hospital.
So how important are nurse practitioners, PAs, the so-called extenders or mid-levels, are these terms that
those
people use?
Terrible words for
wonderful professionals.
Part of the team. You know, no better or worse than any of these guys.
So wait, do you agree?
100%. You can't do your job with
it. And you agree.
Yeah.
And you agree. And you agree. Absolutely. And you agree. So 6 out of 6 doctors agree.
That's
PAs, nurse practitioners, that's better than dentists.
And trainees are only 5 out of 5.
Are the ish. And now here's the thing. So I got in big trouble with the physician moms group for saying that nurse practitioners should be practice at the top of their license. Yeah, no, it's okay. And top of the license doesn't mean that they should practice independently. It means that they should practice at the best of their training and ability on a team. Right? And I got a lot of crap. And I think part of it is because sometimes there's a lot of bullying in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Nurses on young doctors, particularly female doctors, which I didn't appreciate at the time.
Okay.
And so there's a cultural thing, guys, that we have to really, if we're going to build 3.0, you said a just culture. I like that. I think a culture of compassion towards each other. Like, heaven forbid, right? Like, surgeons are notorious assholes. But like some of the most compassionate people I've met are surgeons. So why can't we build a culture that's more compassionate? Like you can have psychopathic tendencies and be a surgeon, and that's great. But you can still like care about your colleagues and actually show them respect and not throw things in the OR and that kind of thing, right? So I mean, this is true, and it's true for nurses who have the lateral violence in nursing. You know, the verbal abuse, the eating of the young, the horrible stuff that often happens. That's inexcusable, and it's true in medical.
2.0.
It's 1.0 minus, yeah. 2.0. What we would do is there wouldn't be lateral violence because we'd all just be clicking boxes and not talking to each other.
Right.
We would send each other like,
is that the is that an issue?
Yeah, is that an issue?
3.0, right. We're gonna solve it.
Actually. Duska writes, Doc, speak to the hospital bigwigs. They listen to you. They don't care what the nurses say.
What do you guys think of that?
We have nursing leadership.
I feel like there is a lot of nursing leadership. In some ways, she's right because the hospitals fear the doctors because that's their...
They're bringing in
revenue.
That's
their lifeblood, you know? So it's a tough situation. I think we all have to get along. We all have to understand that everybody has different personalities. And just you got to try to... I don't know, work the best.
I think it goes to speak to the bigger issue, right? The patient doesn't get better unless everybody does their job well.
Yeah.
Right? That too.
Yeah. Including them.
And that's really
including the patient.
So much of the patient experience.
Yeah, no. Including the patient.
So much of the patient experience has to do with the nurse. They're going to leave the hospital.
It does.
And reflect on their experiences. How did the nurse treat me? How did I do during the day? Not for the 10 or 15 minutes that the doctor was there every day. But
how
the nurses took care of them.
I mean, I think she makes a good point, though. I think a lot of times we tend to advocate for ourselves, like more of a selfish approach as doctors, but we should also advocate for the nurses because it'll help us and it helps everyone in the long run and the patient especially.
So we were actually having an interesting conversation before about whether we would recommend our kids become physicians. And we're talking about, you know, the role of, you know, physicians, you know, whether you would encourage your kids at 2.0 or 3.0. And, you know, a couple of weeks or, you know, ago, I'm married to a physician. My daughter came home and said she wanted to be a nurse. And you know what? I could not have been prouder. So, you know, nurses rule. Straight up.
Damn. I picked a kind of good group of docs, right? The others, they were all assholes. These guys are the cream. No, and this is just a representative sample. Like, if you're worried about medicine and, like, the general culture and you think doctors are buttholes and that and this, they're just not, like, this is what doctors ought to be. This is what doctors actually are. And the ones who aren't can STF you, all right? And since this month is about burnout and all of that, I think just talking about culture, talking about solutions to make things better, and talking to frontline people who are either working in administration or on the front lines or in IT or in the institute is is requisite to helping to understand where the future of medicine is going. Do we have any comments that you'd like to read?
One of the people didn't think I was in the screen enough.
Whoa, you got an admirer.
I just thought we should address that. Yeah, let's give me some more screen time here.
Now it's on. Now it's on.
Let's get the equal session. Skills a little bit here. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what to say.
I think I agree. I was trying. I was like, and look at these guys.
Really nice hairdos.
Yeah, great haircuts. Let me borrow that phone real quick. I'm going to see something here. Go ahead.
One of the things I was going to say that I think has helped us in our group is that we require all of our physician administrators to practice medicine still. We don't let you be just an administrator.
Definitely.
So I think that keeps you on the ground and keeps you doing things and lets you understand the issues and battles that everybody faces every day. Otherwise, you become very separate.
You can't leave physicians unless you walk in their shoes.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? They're not going to respect you.
Yeah, they won't.
Because we're like sharks. We sense blood and fear.
Yes.
Like if somebody's not there doing the thing, walking the walk, they can't talk. They can't talk the talk. We need New Jersey Safe Ratio says we need docs to help us keep patients safe. Yeah, our voice is important. We still – now, nurses are actually maybe more trusted than us by the public. But now, see, now you weren't in the frame before, but now you're just going to be eclipsed by my bald head.
Now you're just replacing your head.
Hi. I'm a vascular surgeon. Let's see. Susan Hilsebeck says 1 to 30 in a nursing home, left the nursing home, now in dialysis.
Wow.
So these ratios are tough. And mid-level seems like a derogatory term, says Anna Arcaro. They're very important, but PAs and NPs are not equal to physicians. So, okay, listen. Here's an interesting thing. PAs and NPs are not equal to anything. They are who they are. Just like doctors are not equal to anything, they are who they are. I agree with that. We all have our own set of skills, and especially in our emphasis. Like PAs are trained in the medical model. Nurse practitioners are trained in the nursing model. And they bring a different angle, a different type of holism. Each of them is true but partial, as all of us are. So MDs are true but partial. We're really good at the medical model and instituting it. We're maybe less good sometimes at some of forming those bonds and relationships and looking holistically. We can be better, right? But we might sacrifice something in that way. So maybe we might sacrifice a tad of surgery skill because there's only so much time in the day. So we find what we're good at, and then we overlap with other people on the team that are good at other stuff. And that's where the emergent beauty of a system happens, when the system works together and all those complementary forces work. So I agree, and it's a good thing.
I gotta say, when patients come back to the office, I get more compliments about our PAs and nurse practitioners that took care of them than we do about the doctors.
Yeah.
That's true.
And you know, and my dad told me that. He saw a nurse practitioner and he saw a doc, and he said, the nurse practitioner spent time with me. She talked to me. And here's the thing. A lot of, you know, and there are docs who will be like, well, but they don't know. They didn't go through all this training and they don't know this stuff and they can make mistakes. Yes, this is all true. However, a lot of what we do in medicine, I think, is horse crap. I think we do a lot of stuff to people, not necessarily for them. And in the end, the data is going to show that maybe this stuff doesn't help that much. So sometimes just being there, listening to a patient, hearing them as a unique person is a crucial component of that.
Now, vascular surgery stuff all does help, actually.
All of it.
Bright lights and stainless steel.
I'm going to get my veins stripped today, son. Jillian Johnson says, yes, see, the culture of compassion towards each other, boom. We all put our pants on the same way. We all want to see what's best for the patients. We still make a decent living, pay off student loans, and have work and home life balance. We all want those things. Kudos to you amazing docs for trying to pave the way. Shit, yeah. High fives. Jillian, you're the bomb. You are the bomb. And now there's
one of our Kara's relatives again?
Probably.
No, that wasn't.
No.
Probably. What else do we got here? We are your eyes and ears, says Carol Grantham, referring to nursing.
Absolutely.
I agree.
True. Definitely.
And hearts sometimes.
Yeah.
For some of us, because we're so busy, and they're the ones, you know. Oh, you were someone's gonna say something?
I was just gonna say, what's our final word? You know, I want to be so respectful of people's time to be able to share this experience and allowing us to share time with them.
He's trying to go and party.
He's trying to go.
He's like, yeah, okay, I'm done with this cast, son. So we're going to but you're right.
True.
Yeah. So what
actually, it's about things, truth, yeah. Right? You know?
Jersey.
Yeah. That's,
yeah. So to me, it's about the patient experience. You know, we are physicians, but we're also patients, and we're husbands and family members. And it's understanding what both of those sides are and delivering the best possible care in a team-based approach that you can to, you know.
And you should treat each patient like they are your family.
They are your family.
How would you want to be treated?
And with each other, we got to stop the negativity. One thing that I hated always is seeing those, you know, the grouchy doctor who says, I would never tell my kids to be a doctor. I hate practicing. This sucks. It's still a great field, good job security, and we work as a team.
And it's a
nice people doing good work.
It's a privilege.
Not many jobs like that.
It is a privilege. I think having that negative attitude leads to just worse.
Toxic.
It makes your job, if you have that attitude, you're not going to be happy no matter what you're doing.
And ultimately, you're not doing the patient a favor by seeing them. They are giving you the privilege of taking care of them.
Yeah.
And too many doctors don't think about it that way.
And I'm really concerned about how many Arcaro members are listening to this.
Ultimately, the ultimate truth.
Not have anything else
that is the ultimate truth.
This, I'm now starting to question how many fans Z-Dog actually has that are
they're all Arcaros. And then Tom Heineberg pinned his own comment. I'm Pickle Rick, which is a Rick and Morty quote because he's insane. Guys, like Mike, the situation, Mark, the conundrum. The whole crew. Just say your names one more time for my fam here.
Eric Schwartz.
Eric Schwartz.
Jerry Gertzman.
Jerry Gertzman.
Mike Arcaro, The Situation.
The Situation.
Mark Arcaro, The Conundrum.
Josh Eisenberg.
And Z-Dog MD, it has been a thrill. We want to thank our sponsor, Athena Health. And these guys use their EHR, which was just coincidence. And they think it's 70% less crappy than other crappy EHRs. So that's a start. That's right. And really, thanks to them. And thank to you guys. Hit share, hit like, spread the word. And wish me luck tomorrow. I'm going to bomb in front of these guys tomorrow. So
they're going to
hate it.
Questions.
Oh, it's going to be hard. No, there's no Q&A. I'm not allowed. Yeah, you can do Q&A, and I'll just lie. We love you, ZPEC. We out. Peace.